From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. What could be tougher than being a Navy vice admiral? Perhaps heading the Los Angeles Unified School District. That's the task David Brewer III has taken on. He begins amid threats of a teacher's strike and a nasty power struggle between Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa and the school board. If retired Vice Admiral Brewer can turn LA's failing system around, look for other districts to follow his lead. Superintendent Brewer sat down with NPR's Tony Cox at our NPR West studios and told him why he volunteered for such a tough job.
When I retired on the 1st of April of this year, I made a commitment that I would basically devote the rest of my life to helping disadvantaged youth. There's a great book by Bob Buford called Halftime. He basically says you go from success to significance. And early in life, you learn. And then later in life, you earn, and then in the final stages of your life, you should serve.
What are your initial impressions of what you've seen of the LAUSD so far? I know it's early.
What stunned me, to be very frank, is of the 720-some-odd thousand students in this particular district in 900 schools, is that we have 65,000 foster care kids, 10,000 homeless children. I was at a school the other day, and children are having to walk a gauntlet of gangs, et cetera, in order to get to their school buses. They actually have a system called Battle Buddies. You cannot leave that school alone. You must go with a group of other kids. That's stunning. That's why I created a program called SEA, S-E-A, Socioeconomics on a Bedrock of Academics. We have to attack the socioeconomic factors that are adversely impacting our children's ability to learn. This district is basically brown and black, and they typically and historically have been on the bottom ring of the ladder in terms of education. And we have really got to get that straightened out, and I'm sick of seeing it. I've seen it all my life. I am committed to coming in here and making a difference.
I know that as a manager and as an organizer and as a person who has run large organizations in your past, you know about planning. So what do you see in your first 100 days in office? What do you see as the goal that is achievable, and what do you want to see as a measurement of how you are progressing towards your ultimate goal in that first 100 days?
Well, my first 100 days will be listening, learning, assessing, and then I'll act. Once I assess the problems that we have here, I already know some of the problems. For example, the middle schools are failing to a certain extent. Not failing, but clearly some of them are ineffective. The high schools obviously need a lot of work. Governor Romo, the current superintendent, has actually done a wonderful job of building over 150 schools in the building plan. That's a $19.3 billion plan. So, and also the elementary schools are really making dramatic gains. So my job now is to attack that middle. Well, one of the other priorities, of course, is to go after the dropout rate. We have a fairly high dropout rate here in L.A., and so, again, those socioeconomic factors are affecting that, as well as some academic factors, because what we're beginning to find out is children drop out a lot of the times because they're not being successful in school. My job is to make sure that we shepherd them through the process.
I'm sure that you are aware that here, the unions, UTLA specifically, is certainly a factor in anything that is done with regard to trying to reform, remove, or improve the school setting. And yet, in your previous life with the military, you really haven't had to deal with unions before, have you?
Not true. 4.5 years of unions.
Yeah?
Yes, in my previous job as the commander of Military Sealift Command. My sailors on my ships were union workers. They were merchant mariners, civilians. I work very well with unions. And the unions will find out very quickly that I understand them. They serve their constituents. And bottom line is, I applaud that. But our job is to get on the same page and make sure that we are focused on one thing, and that is educating children, and make sure that whatever we do, whatever decisions that we make, really focus on that one goal, and that is educating children.
Superintendent, you are in the unique situation coming in under a new set of guidelines for the superintendent of the LA Unified School District, and by that I mean you, in essence, have two bosses, the board, which selected you, and the mayor, who was going to have increased power along with this council of mayors beginning the first of the year. How do you see yourself maneuvering through those potentially treacherous waters?
Yeah, what you're talking about is the Assembly Bill 1381, which will give some, obviously put me under that particular paradigm. We must remind the public, however, that is also under legal challenge right now. However, let's assume that it does pass. It doesn't matter to me because I can work under that system. In the military, it is not unusual for us to have two bosses. I actually had three bosses in my last job. And
really?
You are able to manage your way through that process. You just make sure that all three bosses, their priorities and their particular responsibilities are taken care of. It will be no problem. Mayor Villaraigosa, who is the mayor of Los Angeles, and I are on the same page. We have the same vision. That will not be a problem. But there are also 26 other mayors here. They will find that I will also be joined at the hip with them because, again, I'm going to put something on my door. It's going to say this: leave your politics and your ego at the door. This is about teaching and learning.
Well, good luck with that. In fact, what would you say, Superintendent, is your strength personally now in terms of trying to be successful at what you're going to do? Obviously, you have a long history of being a person in charge and directing, and yet having a personality that melds with those around you was also important, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. My ability to communicate, Tony, is probably my number one strength. I am someone who can go out and motivate and inspire. I was talking to a dear friend of mine the other day, the chaplain of the United States Senate. That's Dr. Barry Black, the first African-American chaplain in the United States Senate, and also the first African-American to reach the rank of admiral and now in the United States Navy's chaplain corps. And Barry and I had a very, very inspiring lunch. We prayed together. And Barry says, you know what, Dave, if you get this job, you use your strengths. The strengths that God gave you is that you can inspire and you can motivate and you can lead. So I will take those three attributes and move this district forward.
How do you see a couple of other things and we'll let you go? How do you see being as an African-American male, and you're the second in modern time to be the superintendent of the LAUSD, how do you see that playing a role in your ability to do the job?
I am a product of my past. I know what it's like to be oppressed. And so when I look out at these young people, I can empathize with them. But I am not a prisoner of my past. I am not going to basically linger and let those negative things that have occurred in my life stop me. And that's what I want to tell young people. You know, the playing field will never be level. You've got to learn how to run uphill. And oh, by the way, if you become an uphill runner, you're going to be a much more powerful runner, and therefore you will be even more successful.
Anything worry you about what you're about to undertake?
Oh, it's a daunting challenge, Tony. It's going to be challenging, but I will get through it. I think the politics and some of the infighting, it will be a problem. But you know what? I am coming into this job fresh. I have no alliances or coalitions here, so I will be able to walk across all of those bridges to get it done.
You have used, as I understand it, Jonathan Kozol, I think I'm pronouncing that
right. Yeah, Jonathan Kozol.
Kozol, okay.
Savage Inequalities and Shame of the Nation are the two books that Jonathan put out. And in those books, he really points out the savage inequalities between, and let's cut to the chase. He is talking about the resegregation of urban public schools, where they are now predominantly black and brown, and how the resources have been disproportionate in terms of making sure that these children are being educated. I'm not going to argue with Jonathan on the resource issue because I look at resources in three ways. There are the tangible resources. We spend a lot of money in our schools per pupil. But frankly speaking, that's not the real differential. The differential is what I call the intangibles. And that is when these children go home, they don't necessarily go home to safe neighborhoods. They don't go home to three-car garage homes with families who can educate them and have books and computers. The young man I talked to the other day at one of the high schools where he has to walk the gauntlet, I said, well, why don't you stay after school and work on the computers? He said, we can't because they have to close the school so we can get home before 6. And he says, I don't have a computer at home. And then there are the intangibles, and that is these parents who have the resources can take their children on trips, on field trips. And that's a part of expanding their horizons and expanding their education. So I will take care of the tangibles. But we also have to get the community to step up to help us take care of some of the intangibles and what I call the intangible intangibles. And you will see here shortly that I am really going to lean heavily on the community to help me with some of these children who do not have those resources at home, especially those 65,000 home foster care kids and 10,000 homeless children.
If I work for you now, do I need to begin to brush off my resume now?
What do you mean brush it off?
So that are there pink slips coming to people who are working there because with a new, sometimes a new team sweeps clean?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to bring in some new people. I'm going to do that in a very measured way because the bottom line is I'm a subscriber to Good to Great by Jim Collins. And that is you have to have the right person in the right seat on the right bus. And I will be able to determine who the right people are to go into those right seats on the bus. And so I will, in essence, start making some changes over the next 6 months.
What does Mrs. Brewer say about you coming out here, taking this job, and her role in this with you?
Mrs. Brewer, or Dr. Brewer, we call her Dr. Deeney, has her doctorate in education. Dr. Deeney is obviously apprehensive. I mean, she has been in this business for 25 years, but she is my strongest supporter. She is a part of my kitchen cabinet. You should see the books that I have to read that she has laid in my suitcase. I have to bring two suitcases to Los Angeles every time I travel here because one of them is full of books from Dr. Deeney.
Well, last question, and that's this, and it's only partly tongue-in-cheek, and that is, have you begun to learn Spanish?
I will learn Spanish. In fact, Manny, who drives me around, is already beginning to teach me, and I'm going to go into total Spanish immersion here pretty soon.
Superintendent, thank you for coming in, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart. Good luck.
Thank you.
That was retired Navy Vice Admiral David Brewer III talking with NPR's Tony Cox. Admiral Brewer is the new superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District.